Blog Talk Radio.
And I miss you, and now I wonder if I could fall into the sky. Do you think time went past me by? 'Cause you know I'd walk 1,000 miles if I can just see you.
Just how what you cooking at?
When I see you, I'ma push your shit back, boy. Chopper get the spin, see your set, we don't fight, boy. 12 paramedics couldn't save your fucking life, boy. Rod can't dead and he never coming back, boy. We gon' treat this bitch like a match, how we strike, boy. Left his ass in the street, this the end of your life, boy. Stand your ass, see a flashlight and it's mic, bro. These niggas soft as hell, all these niggas, they just act hard. I'ma shoot this bitch when I motherfucking see you. I don't go nowhere without my motherfucking heat, cool. Smoking on Lil' Peter, I was smoking Trey D2. Free my nigga Max till they motherfucking free you. Knock a nigga out, boy, you can get your ass beat too. Lil' hoe, you trippin', baby girl, I don't need you. You could walk 1,000 miles and I still don't wanna see you. I got the whole city scared, these niggas know what we do.
Ooh, I smoke, baby. Ooh, I smoke, dinky. Ooh, I smoke, Lil' Nas. And now I wonder
what the ops that got a low, I'm gonna drop that. FNXP, one in the head, ain't got a kite back. No, I'm smoking shit in one thing, they just can't get them back. And it's back to back, on the block with double back. My killer making space, yo, that's one thing about queso. Hot for the game, but you know that shit a case closed. One of them dead, bust a stand, all I do is say go. Drop a op, drop a thot, any minute might go. I'm rockin' when I travel, I'm pistol packin' in you. I was lurking on his page and I caught him lacking in you. We let out shots, he got shot and went live. I'm just thinking like, fuck, man, that bitch ain't died. When they diss on 2 times, we gon' spend a few times. Glock 2-3 for 2-3, let all rhyme till you die. Jump out that shit with sweet till we find out the drop. Find out what that boy working and boy called the mind.
Ooh, I smoke, baby. Ooh, I smoke, dinky. Ooh, I smoke, Lil' Nas. And now I wonder.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another Friday night edition of Let's Talk Fort Worth. I'm Terry Hines, your host. A reminder, we do not own the rights to the music you just heard. Also, we're going to ask you to please click tag share. Tell someone Let's Talk Fort Worth is on the air. And we're about to discuss the topic, Stop Violence. Is our city headed toward a very violent and bloody summer? If so, how do we make it stop? I'm seeing a lot of beefing on social media among people I consider woke, intelligent, articulate, and way too smart to be engaging in this type of negative back and forth. But are there forces downtown that are stirring the pot and keeping the black community as far as the activists and leaders divided? And if this is the case, downtown, we're going to call you out every chance we get. But that's what we're talking about tonight. There's a lot going on. There's a lot of shootings, we know. The shooters, the victims, are getting younger and younger. In some cases, we're hearing 12, 13, 14, 15-year-olds who are being accused of some of these shootings and are the victims of some of these shootings. The music you just heard was a song called Who I Smoke, which basically is a song in which they're rapping about people who are deceased. And the word smoke is referring to their dead and how they die. I'm just going to say it like that without getting myself in trouble. But anyway, so is that music negatively affecting our children? And so all around we're just seeing violence. We're seeing everyone angry and on edge. And is that leading up to a very violent and bloody summer? That's what we're talking about. We've seen a lot going on already in terms of shooting. And so how do we make it stop? How do we, as people within the community, do our part to head this thing off? That's what we're talking about tonight. So let's go to the phone lines. I see Tanya Carter on the phone. Good evening, Tanya Carter. How are you? Good evening. Tanya Carter. Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening, Carrie Hines.
Good.
Thank you for allowing me to be on the show tonight. I'm doing well, sister. Thank you.
Thank you. 214-418. Good evening. Let's see. 214-418. Good evening.
Good evening.
Who am I speaking to? Hi. This is who? We can barely hear you.
Okay, well, let me try this. Can you hear me now?
That's better.
Okay.
This is Reggie,
Reggie,
right?
Ruffin.
Okay, yeah, this is Reggie Ruffin. Reggie, your number, I did not recognize that number. Okay, that's Reggie. And 817-705, good evening.
What's going on, Carrie? This is Big Wayman.
This is who?
Wayman Brown.
Oh, hey, great. Hey, Wayman, fine. How are you? I'm so glad you could join us. So, listen,
I'm
y'all are going to be talking about the topic tonight. And I'm sure you all are seeing what I'm seeing here in Fort Worth. Do y'all see things are not, like, looking good in terms of it being a peaceful summer, that things are looking like they're probably going to get off to a bad start just from what we're seeing already? Anybody can jump in.
I don't think it's just in Fort Worth, though. I think that's pretty much everywhere you look around. That's just what the trend is. Everybody's on edge now, and there's so many other crazy things going around now. I mean, the pandemic is bad, the economy is bad, life is bad. And, you know, you have people now that when they walk outside their front door, they're uncertain they're going to be coming back, whether they end up in jail behind something or end up getting killed behind something. I mean, people are just so acrimonious and so volatile. I mean, you know, things just as simple as pushing your cart past somebody at a Walmart, you accidentally brush up against the cart and turn into an incident. People are just so ready to try to check somebody, correct somebody. And, you know, one of the things I always say is that one simple rule of being careful what you wish for, because, you know, you don't know what's going through the next person's mind. And next thing you know, you have a all-out conflict. And now that Abbott has decided everybody can carry guns, now you're going to have a whole entire new problem.
Wow. I agree. Tanya, what are your thoughts?
Carrie, yes, my name is Tanya Carter. I'm Como District 3. It's already been a lot of gunplay, homicide in our neighborhood, and it's very disheartening. I don't want to speak it into existence, but until we have boots on ground with programs that work, I do see more of these occurrences, basically on what Brother Brown said, yes. Because of the economy, high stress factors, inability to control ourselves and or our youth. Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. Wayman, do we have to take more control of ourselves in order to save our own lives?
Most definitely. One of the things that I've seen, you know, since I've been traveling, I was in Florida a few weeks ago, and same thing going on. It's like the song Eazy-E say. Everywhere is just like Compton. You know, everybody got the same problems, everybody got the same situations, and it always seems to be the plight of what we call the minority communities. Mm-hmm. Do I believe that our city government plays a role in this? I 100% truly do, because if you have an ongoing investigation and you know who these people are that are committing these crimes, why not arrest them?
Yeah.
You know, why not be proactive instead of reactive? And, you know, the controlling ourselves part, for the most part, I've been here, I've been blessed to be on this earth 57 years, you know. Background used to be some of everything and anything, but I've been blessed to see me not becoming a victim of what I used to be a part of.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never been in a gang, but I know about life on the street. So at the same time, you can be a contributing factor, and that plays a role in controlling ourselves, you know. Or you can be a divergent. You can change the narrative. And based on what I've seen over my span of time,
mm-hmm.
I've seen where we used to have, like the song, I know the song you played, a lot of people don't realize this is the controlling ourselves part comes in. Mm-hmm. When those guys first did that song, I think they were going to use a hook from one of Mariah Carey's songs. And she said, hey, y'all can talk to my lawyer because I can't allow you to utilize my music, anything that represents me, into something like that. So that goes back into the record labels, what they choose to air versus when I was coming up, we had what was called, we called it conscious music, to where we had groups that was speaking positive things, talking about, we were still talking about what's going on out here, but they were trying to put solutions in those records. And it was the record companies that said, no, we don't want to sell that. They didn't say it didn't sell. They made a concerted effort saying, we don't want to sell that. So we got to get back into what we put out, what we listen to, what we take in, you know, and we got to try to move this thing forward because this is not the first summer we've seen this. This is not the 10th summer we've seen this. So we got to start coming up, like Tanya said, growing up in the city of Fort Worth, we used to have programs that kept the youth busy. You know, if you keep money in somebody's pocket, they got less likely chance of going out there committing a crime or doing something they don't have no business, you know. They're going to keep their mind on their money. So if they're not doing that, they're bound to get into something else that a lot of times leads us down the wrong path.
I agree. You know, the thing is, all these cameras you see in the city, what are they really doing? Are they surveilling us basically just to keep up with what's going on in the community? Because if the cameras were really out there to solve crimes, we wouldn't have any crime because they would catch everything. So what are they really doing if they're not catching murderers, not catching rapists, not catching, you know, people who are stealing children off the street? What are the cameras really up there doing? Something's not adding up.
And do they
not
work?
Shit. Well, that's
no,
that
we got...
something. Go ahead,
bro.
Okay. And I would say that's something I had discussed once before is that, like, whenever some violence pops off in some of these stores, I've known the police or the investigators not to even pull the recording off of the camera and see if it was working. But mm-hmm. they did, they would have thought what happened instead of just taking it. All they care about is taking you to jail, getting a charge on you, getting a case on you, and hoping you just stop playing a plea bargain. Well, know the trouble I was going through when I showed you that recording of that clown that lived next door that wasn't calling the police on me and everything, and then we done had three incidents where someone could have gotten killed, and the police still took the place. And they did it on purpose because, you know, with me being a terrorist in this neighborhood, and I'm sick out of conduct, of course, it'll be nice if something can happen with me. Then they'll say, okay, see, that's what we're talking about. So they've always wanted to tell you like you're talking about the community. And my motto has always simply been this. We don't need to live to be a product of our environment. We need to strive to make our environment a product of us. And we're not doing too good on the latter part. So
you sound, do me a favor to see if you can turn closer to the mic. What were you saying, Wayman?
When we look at these cameras, do those cameras actually work? And just like the brother just said, if all this surveillance is going on and everywhere we go, we know there's a camera. You know somebody's watching something.
Mm-hmm.
You mean to tell me it takes 3 months to go back and find out what was on that video?
Mm-hmm.
It takes... 3 months to identify somebody that you already have a file on to find out that this person is a person of interest and we need to get them off the street right now. You know, that's always an issue because it seems that our city officials really don't have an interest unless we're in a certain zip code.
That's good. You know, I don't know how many cameras over there in Como that say it. Why didn't they catch the nine shooters that or whoever was doing all that shooting coming out here?
Okay, Karen, can y'all hear me? I really can't answer that question, and I'm not really sure if it was nine people that were shot. I was in the middle of the gunfire. I was going live as the shootings popped off. I only recall one female dropping. She got back up, one ambulance, one fire truck. Now, if it was nine people shot, they walked to the hospital or they drove themselves. Police came on the scene immediately after the shots were fired. So, Brother Brown, I do believe the cameras are working. They were already uniformed. And two unmarked vehicles, one red, one white, jumped out in full armor and a bodyguard. I would say an estimated 35 to 50 police officers came to the scene immediately. It was within 2 to 3 minutes, so they were close, and they were on standby. I'm not going to hog the radio show, even though we do have 2 hours. I do believe it was an experiment. In Como. I do believe the shootings occurred close to 2 a.m. in the morning. I am an advocate for community self-policing. Leon Reed recently joined on the venue about the over-policing in District 3, Como.
Yes.
I know it's over there in District 5. I know it's over there in District 8. These are the three experimental communities that these so-called surveillance cameras have been installed using our tax dollars, Black development money, okay, in the disenfranchised neighborhoods that are under gentrification to make that the claim is to make it safe for the elderly in the community. But I disagree. It's just kind of weed and seed, so to say, weed out the bed and bring in the newcomers into the old historical neighborhoods to benefit a new sector in the community, displace us and move us to apartments. I know I'm getting way off the subject. Let me get back to these security cameras. So, they were to scare me.
Back on subject. Listen, so if
you say what,
because I saw your video where you were live, and I heard the gunfire. So there was actual gunfire that night on the 3rd. Prior to the Como Fest event. So there was gunfire, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes,
right.
Ma'am. Exactly. Yes, ma'am. It was heavy gunfire. Oh, yes, ma'am. Well over, I would say, 50 to 75 shots or more. Yes, ma'am.
Well,
okay, so, wow. So why didn't the cameras catch who did that?
That's what I'm saying. And who? And was it an imposter? I mean, I'm just posing a scenario, because supposedly it was
but you're on track. You're right on track,
though,
because
did somebody shoot up in the air? You know, the cows, the propensity, because you know we armed and heavy out there, so if it pop out, oh, we gonna shoot back. You know, so
exactly.
But was it us? Was it someone out of town, or was it an imposter?
Situation is so bad right now, though, to where you got people. Like you say, when the shooting happened over across the street from my house at Wheelbarger Park, when that shooting happened, there wasn't nobody that lived in our community.
Oh.
You know, so these are the things, like they say, the person that was shooting out there, they said it wasn't nobody from Como. Okay. My thing is this. Both instances, police were already on the scene.
Oh.
Both instances, police were already on the scene. So This lets us know.
No arrest, nobody, you know, in custody. It's so, Brother Brand, they want to say it's encrypted. It's an ongoing investigation. They can't release the information. No discovery is out it.
Oh, wow.
Sound like COINTELPRO, don't it?
Oh. I didn't say it. You know it. I didn't say it. But I was thinking.
Sound like COINTELPRO, don't it? See, that's the thing a lot of people don't understand.
Yeah, we done lived.
If you're over 45, 50 years old, we done seen this movie before.
Wow. Wow. So.
So we know the script.
What's the end game, though? Okay, let's just say COINTELPRO. What's the end game?
The end game is just what the sister said.
To displace us and move us to become apartment dwellers and take our property inside and outside to look for a big development for the city of Fort Worth. In the end game, if we as advocates, if we as community leaders, as we as concerned citizens and residents in our community do not unite, it's game over, particularly for those of us who identify ourselves as Black.
That is some scary
And you think
stuff.
About it. And you think about it. Not only they're trying to do it for the development process, but see, they got to fill them jails.
Oh, they got
to keep them prison, because there was a prison that actually sued a city for not keeping its system full.
Wow.
They got to fill the mental health facility that they built in Brother Brown.
See?
Wow.
Yeah, but we can't get no trauma centers.
I mean, yeah, there's always been a system. I said there's always been a
former
system, so that's part of what that problem comes around. You know, they want to see some butts in the bunk. Keep them in the bunk. They're getting free labor done, and, you know, they're still getting, they're saving a lot of money. And all it is, that's just recycled slavery. I mean, that's what mass incarceration is. It's recycled slavery. And, you know, now we call people out and call them a slave, they get out of their system. But at the end of the day, that's what you do with it. I knew guys down there doing community service where they were like $20,000 worth of fines that they're working on. So he's literally going up there almost 4 or 5 times a week like it's a regular job.
Wow.
Don't get the $2 billion.
Who has that noise in the background? It's not. Okay.
Not me.
I have no
idea. I don't hear it now. Let me ask the question. Okay, we know that, you know, for whatever reason, unknown to us right now, that they allow these guns for everybody to get a hold to them. At the same time, we also know that with these new marijuana laws, they're not going to be able to hold these guys in jail who are in jail or in prison for, you know, marijuana crimes. So it's not going to add up after a while. There's going to be a pushback on that. So is it going to be an exchange that some are going to be coming out of prison and then others are going to be going into prison for you know, doing stupid things with guns? So are they really giving the guns out so new people will go in jail, depopulation, other people will die? So is it just going to be a vicious cycle?
I would like to say yes, Sister Carrie. And we have to keep the CCP funded with our tax dollars to criminalize us, and they need to justify why they're going to keep that, 80% of the city of Fort Worth budget to the CCPD. So they're going to have to justify the crime in the so-called high crime real neighborhoods.
That's part of the reason why. Go ahead. Go ahead.
What'd you say, Wayman?
Okay, I was just going to say that is part of the reason why Abbott is allowing these guns to people to carry guns, because, see, now that takes away another element of probable cause to get stopped. Because now the cops will say, we're going to see if you have guns. And that's something they've always wanted to go by, but here's the catch. If they see you with a gun Are they going to just try to just kill you right there and then, whether you have a gun in your hand or not? So I'm not going to give them no gun. They asked me to hand over the gun. I'm like, look, you get it. I'm not touching it. Because that's
we've lived this before.
We what?
They've dropped guns in our neighborhoods before, defective guns.
Oh, yeah.
You know, don't shoot right, aim right. The gun laws are loosening. You know, you can get them for the dealers. You know, we don't know what we're getting. We think we're protecting ourselves, and then, you know, the gun shoots some other direction, and it hits a child, and here we go. I don't know. People say I'm a conspiracy theorist, but I've seen this before, and history repeats itself.
And that's exactly what we're doing. You know, we're still in that cycle to where everything that – now, remember, the Republicans didn't want any of this stuff that's going on now. They didn't want none of this going on when Obama was in office.
Uh-uh.
Trump gets in office, and all of a sudden, now you got Republican officials like Governor Abbott saying, well, I think everybody ought to have a gun. Anybody in his right mind, particularly those who are advocate gun users and gun collectors, know, one, you just can't give anybody a gun. Two, if you're going to at least give them a gun, at least have them to be trained. Have them to have some kind of gun knowledge. We ain't saying they got to have a permit. Just saying, hey, I've taken the class. You have something to show that you are a responsible gun owner, that you've taken a class, that you know how to shoot, you know when to put your hand on a gun, because all of that stuff is out there in the free information. Now, will people use that? No, they won't. A lot of folks going to go out there and start stocking up, and, you know, in the times we live in, they say that art imitates real life.
Mm-hmm.
Art imitates reality. All of a sudden, they got this movie called The Forever Purge coming out.
Mm-hmm.
To where they saying, hey, from now on, it's a free-for-all, y'all. And believe it or not, there are some people out there that really looking for something just to jump off, just so they can get something going. Now, these quote-unquote neo-Nazis, and I don't understand. Well, yes, I do. I was going to say, I don't understand how that's going, but again, we're talking about infiltration, particularly over a 40, 50-year span. So you think just because they got defeated in Germany, a lot of them was already trying to get over here then, and they were trying to get in places of power. They were trying to get in places of influence, and it seems that a lot of them have done that. All of a sudden now, you got it to where – it seems like a lot of this stuff, like Tanya said, it seems like a lot of it is coordinated to where, okay, we got some jumping off in Stop Six. We got some jumping off in Eastwood. We got some jumping off in Pilot. We got some jumping off up on the north side in a small sector. Then we got some jumping off in Como. And it just keeps going around and around, but nobody has any documented proof of video. Now, all this stuff going on, nobody sees these bad acts happening. But we got people under investigation. We can't tell you. Well, this was the person that did this. They come up with all this stuff after the fact, and it seemed like it's patsies, and they're using our youth to actually be these patsies.
Well, let me ask a question. Did y'all hear about what Fort Worth PD released a statement on June 30th? And basically it's about something called the fight and release. Did y'all hear about that?
Sight and release is old, though.
But you ain't doing nothing with the bad guys anyway, so what y'all really going to be doing? I mean, I don't understand. Sight and release basically is the premise that they see you, and if you're doing – let me just read a little bit of it. It says the Fort Worth Police Department issued a message to address questions of the department has received about the Tarrant County's new site and release program. The safety and well-being of our citizens of Fort Worth is of the utmost importance to the Fort Worth Police Department. We are serious about taking violent offenders off the street and keeping our community safe. The Fort Worth Police Department is participating in Tarrant County's new cite and release program, which provides officers with the option of issuing a citation for certain Class A and Class B offenses in lieu of making a custodial arrest. The cite and release program is in no way takes away from the officer's ability to arrest an offender. The decision to make a custodial arrest or utilize the cite and release program remains at the discretion of the investigating officer. Okay, y'all right there, that whole thing about discretion, that thing sounds like it could really be like, you know, white privilege.
Retail Jim
versus...
Crow. Well, that's what that is.
We look at it like this.
Jim Crow, black code laws, where they are using, you know, unwritten laws. It's written, but they can use it at their discretion, okay, mm-hmm. whether they'll let one race of people go, and then they'll
mm-hmm.
hold another to justify mm-hmm. stats of why it's high crime and stop six come old north side and stuff like that, opposed to other areas. You see
mm-hmm.
how they do?
But see, this is what I bought this out in 2019, campaign for city council. I talked about cite and release. It's on my platform.
Wow.
That's one of the things I talked about the transparency and why we needed a police oversight. Because cite and release been on the books a long time. But I talked about it then, that it was left up to the discretion of the officer, but it seems that in certain situations or in certain zip codes, the discretion is always fatal for those people of color, and it's favorable for those people that are non-black or brown. I talked about that way back.
Like
3 years ago.
You know what I'm saying? So they feel like, okay, well, he just needs a second chance. He was just, you know, somewhere and it just, you know, unfortunate situation and a couple of people got killed. But if that had been a black kid, the discretion would have been, you know, we need to teach him a lesson.
If you get caught, if you're black and you get caught with a joint, they taking you to jail.
Ooh, see, that's what I'm talking about.
And this
you know
you're supposed to have more than 2 grams on you.
Good evening, Tice. How are you?
And this is all the way up to Texas legislature. They having sessions, you know, for bills now, right now, as we speak, about this very same thing. Yeah, we need to be active and get in the solution. Yes, we need to actively participate. It's crucial. Certain people and entities, they're not playing. It's time for us to wake up, stop fighting amongst each other, and unite as a people and move forward for the betterment of ourselves and our community.
I agree. Good evening, Tice. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How you doing?
Good. Now, Tice was joining the conversation because he has a little bit of a glimpse into what the young folks are doing out there. And so we had a pre-interview in which he was explaining to me that the shooters are getting younger and younger. So, Tice, can you kind of give us an idea of, like, what's going on with the violence in the streets of Fort Worth and what that's all about?
I mean, it's a broad subject, man. But like you had mentioned, though, the shooters and killers and victims are getting younger and younger. Like, it's crazy, man. Like, 8 people got shot during the block party last week. So, and it was all youngsters. So, it's just so easy to get guns these days. You know what I'm saying? So the kids and youngsters, they more focused on getting the most guns and things like that than even getting money. You know what I'm saying? It's just kind of crazy right now.
So you're the one that introduced me or explained to me that song that you all heard about, Who I Smoke. Tice is the one that explained me. I never heard that stuff, y'all. And Tice is explaining to me about the song. And I was like, can you send me a copy of what you're talking about? So Tice, explain to them what that music is about.
Well, it's a new day and age, man. The music is getting very, very disrespectful. Like, can you hear me?
Yes, that's
better. Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah, the music is getting very disrespectful. Like, basically, they're talking about the enemy's dead friends or dead partners that they supposedly are responsible for killing. Like, say, for instance, John kills Ray Ray, homeboy Pookie. They'll make a song about how they killed Pookie and how they smoking Pookie, basically, and and weed and things like that. It's just terminology, like we smoking pookie tonight. You know what I'm saying? So they getting real disrespectful. And the kids, they feel like they can't let something slide. You know what I'm saying? Like, damn, you talking about my dad. Partner, because usually back in the day, I can't say back in the day, I'm not that old, but back in the day it was a respect thing. Like, you don't, once someone's dead or deceased, you let them make it. You don't talk about them no more. That's over with. But now they talking about digging your dead partner up, and it is getting very disrespectful.
Wow. And so doesn't that then lead to retaliatory killing or shooting?
Oh, yeah, definitely. They feel like they gotta react. They have to. They have to not to defend their partner's honor. It's just, I mean, it's kind of backwards if you ask me, but that's how they feel. Like, if you say something about my dead partner and you saying that you did it, like, I got to do something. I can't just, and then you on social media broadcasting and making songs and getting likes and views off of you talking about my dead partner. You know what I'm saying? It's like, okay, yeah, we got to do something about that.
So what we talked about, like you said, like if they get, like, you know, let's just say 35,000 views in like 24 hours, then, of course, that's shaming the other side. So they feel then a need to retaliate.
Right, right. Either retaliate or make a song. But more likely, it's going to go to gunplay. Back in the day, like the rappers and stuff, they used to just rap about things and really be lying, but these kids, they really rapping about what they're doing. And if you listen to their music, all they talk about is shooting and killing and things like that. Like, when I was coming up, our music was all about selling drugs and things like that. Their music is about using drugs and killing people. You know what I'm saying? And that's I'm not blaming the music on it. That's just how they grew up. So what they grow up rapping about, the things they see and things they do. So I ain't saying, like, the music is the reason why they're doing that. I'm saying the music is just a reflection of what they're going on, just like all the generations said with music. We're not rapping about this so they can go do it. We're rapping about things that we see and things that we do. So I'm not blaming the music. But I also think that the music, if we can target some of these young kids who are making music and have them make public service announcements or at the beginning of their songs or the end of the songs, let people know, like, hey, man, we just rapping. Like, this is not for real. This is entertainment purposes only. Like, we just rapping. That, I think that will help out a lot, you know what I'm saying? But it's hard for older people trying to tell the youngsters not to do it after we done did everything.
We didn't want to encourage nobody to do this. I mean, it's too many things to rap about than rap about stuff like that, though, right? I mean, we're going to say that we're smarter than we have to talk about, like, killing people and stuff like that in order for us to be creative and artistic, right?
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot more things, but the record companies and things like that, they kind of manipulate the system as well. Like, they'll go after the young rappers who are talking about that and things like that. They kind of manipulate the system in their own aspect. You know what I'm saying? Because if they wasn't signing or giving deals to people who were talking like that, then they wouldn't talk about that. You know what I'm saying? So it's like a domino effect in a sense.
Wow. Okay, y'all. Go ahead.
Well, look at it like this. Have you ever, other than recently, I'll say most recently, with Machine Gun Kelly and Eminem going back and forth at each other, you know, prior to that, you didn't have white artists battling like that with each other. It's always us that the record labels have always pitted against one another. Hell, you know, they wanted to, now I'm glad they came up with the verses and flipped the script on them, because at one point, you know, they were trying to take the shade that Patti LaBelle and Aretha Franklin had toward one another, but, you know, they got flipped. You know, we see what they've been trying to do to us, divide and conquer, for a long time. And at one point, we do have to hold the artist accountable for what he put out there. Like the brother said, if you do that PSA, you know, at the beginning or the end, and you saying, hey, man, this is just an art form, that's one thing. But then, you know, Tekashi 6ix9ine done got a whole gang infiltrating, talking about something he wasn't a part of, but he done went back, he done snitched on what these folks is doing, and now all these cats locked up, but he's still running around here. You can't tell me he ain't working for the man.
See, I'm there to interject right quick.
That if the person who's doing the most dirt is out there and, he, you know, he don't never get caught. And, you know, but he doing everything.
But he put
but
a,
he don't
Carrie,
get caught.
He put a hit
what?
Out on a guy. He put a hit out on a guy on social media live. And seconds later, the altercation of gunfire was taped and all of that, and, but he didn't get picked up. That's conspiracy.
Okay.
Yeah, but you know how that game goes. It was conspiracy, right? And they told him, hey, we're gonna give you conspiracy if you don't do this, and he did that.
Yep.
That's why he ain't. You know what I'm saying? So it's a double standard. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Man,
again,
y'all
he white.
Marion is gay.
Y'all, we going to pick up this phone call, y'all. 314-381, good evening. You're on Let's Talk for Work.
How you doing, Gary?
Fine, how are you?
Well, I'm pretty fine.
Good.
Go ahead and talk. I'm listening.
Hello? No comment?
Go ahead and talk. I'm listening. You know,
okay,
but
listening.
Here's the thing. People say they. Who is this they everyone's talking about? That's
what do
making
mean they?
These people doing these things on their own, aren't they?
They?
No.
Who did you hear from they?
I would say folks.
Who you
got from? They priority.
We can't hear you. Speak up just a little bit, Reggie.
No, I just said that the they is the they that has their priorities screwed up. I mean, I was just kind of piggybacking on what brother was saying about, you know, who's the they. Because, but at the end of the day, the bottom line is it's still up to us to make the right decision about what we do. Because, I mean, when you encounter someone, you have to get the last word in. No. You have to No. You don't have to acknowledge the threat. I mean, if you're driving down the street and cut you off, just wave them off and let them go. You let that person go for a few minutes, he's gone. But if you continue going back and forth, you're going to get hurt still.
But
Reggie, you make a very...
You know, you say they, now you're saying us. Who's the us? The people that listen to the music?
What? Okay, what are you referring to when you say that? What are you referring to when you say that? You mean we're talking about specific
specific because he said us, and it, like he's talking about in general. But it can't be no broad. It has to be specific people that's being addressed that are concerned about these complaints that people are talking about. I don't know anything about that. Carrie, I know you're busy in other things, so if you're being delegated to take care of a problem, I don't think it's going to happen with you as much as busy as you are in other areas.
Well, okay. I'm not going to respond to that one. But I think what we're let me get back on topic so everybody understands what we're talking about tonight. We're talking about stop the violence, and it's coming from many directions. We're talking about the fact that the youth, in terms of the ones that are being murdered and the ones that are shooters, are getting younger and younger. And then we're talking about the fact that there's a lot going on in our community amongst our leaders and activists. It seems like there's an ongoing stirring up the pot, if you will, from downtown, that it seems like is keeping our, you know, everybody's at each other. And the problem is the real enemy is getting away, if you will. And so we're trying to figure out, you know, if that's not stopped, you know, we're looking at, you know, possible violence in that area. And so we're trying to say all together, how do we stop all the violence? How do we stop the beefing? How do we stop the young people from killing each other? How do we get back to where we were before COVID? Because after they lifted the ban from COVID, all hell broke loose. And so is it something environmental that can be dealt with, or is it something else that we're missing that has just caused this uptick in violence? in our community. Let's just say that.
I mean, it's too easy to access guns now, first of all. There's no reason why I should be able to go down the street and buy an AK-47. What I need an AK-47 for? Like, we can get big guns, call it video game guns, like it's nothing now. There's no reason why these big guns should be so accessible for us to go buy, for one. I can understand. I don't think you should be able to have a gun outside your house. Your gun is to protect your house and your family, not to protect you from a fight. And then people sound like everybody on the phone who we're talking about, it sound like we all are older. We got to address these younger kids. I was talking to Mother Snoop right. the other day. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Mother Snoop. She had a great idea. She said, we need to get into the prison system and figure out those young kids who are doing those shootings, sit down and make them go through programs and figure out what made this person, like, why did you react to violence, and figure out what their head is and why, and see if there's a common denominator instead of us on the outside looking in and trying to hit the kids out here. We need to go into the jail system because they are already guilty. So we need to go and have them talk and try to speak to the youngsters and let them know, like, I'm 21. I got life in prison. I only at 20. This ain't where y'all want to be rather than somebody 45, 50 years old saying y'all shouldn't do this after they done did everything. They don't want to hear that. I didn't want to hear that when I was young. You 40 trying to tell me, hey, don't go do this. Hey, school, you already lived your life. You know what I'm saying? I'm living mine now. But if somebody was my age and pulling my coattail and telling me, hey, man, I'm telling you, this ain't the route you want to go, I'll be more eager or more willing to listen to him because me and him are coming from the same block, the same places we were going, you know what I'm saying? So I think that's one way. I mean, like I said, these are just ideas, though, you know.
Well, how many of us remember the East Coast, West Coast beef?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Remember how that just – now, that just started between basically this group to this group, and then it got – they made it to where it was supposed to have been a Pac versus Biggie thing, never was. But then there was now when the brother was talking about who's this they that we talking about, we're talking about those outside agitators.
Oh.
Outside of
your community?
Outside of the community. We're talking about this.
Media.
We're talking about outside. Yeah, media. We're talking
bloggers.
About. Exactly. So when you got an outside agitator that keep instigating, like the brother just said, you know, somebody going to take offense to that. No, man, they can't talk about myself. They can't talk about us like this. And this is what woke me up when I, like you said, when I was 21. A brother told me, he said, bruh, you got brothers out here on these corners talking about their claim and territory and don't nobody own no plot of land.
That's true. Not one brick.
And that woke me up. That woke me up because how can we squabble over corners and blocks and signs of town when we don't have the only vested interest we got is, you know, hurting our own people by selling them that poison. But how do we get out of that, you know? And like the brother said, when we go in and we talk to these young kids and find out, man, what got you on that path? How was you introduced to this? You know, again, we do need trauma centers in our community. We need that.
You know, we got Abdul Chappelle on the phone. He has a program that addresses that. Good evening, Abdul. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. How's everybody doing?
What's up, my brother?
Shalom, brother.
Shalom, shalom. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. I've been listening, and I believe everybody is correct in the different approach because there's not a silver bullet approach. It's a collective approach. What we just proposed and what we have been proposing since the 90s, and it's been falling on deaf ears, or it's been taken by the city and changed for and altered for their own purposes or whatever. Number one, you're scratching on the line of what the context of the real conversation should be about, which is when you speak about informers. And although I'm an older cat, I stay grounded with these kids. Because I'm out here with them, you know, we're trying to get them off the street, you know, we're dealing with them on a day-to-day basis. And I come to them where they're at. I don't come to them on no big homie time. I started kids. I don't never come to those kids like that, never have, because I know they're not trying to hear that. I wasn't trying to hear that. So, but what I want to say and I'm hoping that everybody understands, is that the COINTELPRO program that was created in the 60s is on steroids right now. We have people who are – we have people who are participants, active members in groups that are getting paychecks from the federal government, okay? Dudes ain't checking dudes' paperwork out in them streets, you know, and this is why a lot of the big homies and other individuals get mad at me when I speak about this, because a lot of them ain't right. And so when you have the wrong people talking about certain things, the line gets so blurred and the water gets so gets so muddied that you really don't understand what's going on any longer. Most of the stuff that's going on, and I'm not – this is not about glorifying the heyday, because I just got – I just had a conversation with them brothers in Como the other day, and I was like, how can y'all expect these young people to do what y'all are not willing to do? Y'all still beefing about shit from the 80s and the 90s. But you talk to my language. But y'all are talking about telling these young people to stop, but y'all still beefing with each other. Y'all can't sit down with each other. This is not to say that everybody is going to listen. One of the things that I learned, the greatest lesson that I learned from that gang truce we called in 1994, was we were so focused on the people that were not with us, we neglected to work with the ones that were. We looked over the people that were with us. And so what we're offering, and I'm not going to read the entire thing because it's too long to read, but an overview of the program is implementation of our curriculum workbooks, which is dealing with active gang members and the accumulation, the accumulative effect of things that make a child vulnerable and ready or a great case for accepting the gang, which are impoverished conditions, socioeconomic, you know what I mean? We know a lot of whole history of things. Inadequate history, distorted versions of religion, racism, things that are such these. We don't teach these things to our children at home. They don't have an understanding when they're going to school, so they're already kind of confused about what they're learning. That on top of the impoverished conditions and seeing their mothers and fathers suffering, because like I tell brothers all the time, you can't sit there smoking weed around your kid and drinking and then try to tell them not to do the same. You can't sit around listening to dudes talking about popping pistols and popping mollies and things that are such with your children, but then wonder and you're baffled when they're out trying to do what you're listening to yourself. So that's one of the programs we have. It's a curriculum. It comes to the workbook. It comes with the book that I wrote, Chronicles and Memoirs of a Gangster. I'm not trying to promote anything. I'm just saying it's an effective tool because I've used it myself when I was dealing with the kids on Las Vegas Trail. I just didn't have the curriculum at the time. So we have the curriculum now. We have a wraparound approach. We partnered with the UNT Health and Science. They took my Ruby program, and they came back, and we created a program from ages 12 to 18 that deals with cognitive behavior courses, health and nutritional awareness, alcohol, substance abuse. We also provided art and literature classes, financial responsibility classes, young women's and men's empowerment classes, job skills and etiquette, hygiene classes, basic hygiene classes, home cooking classes. We also are offering young entrepreneurship programs. One of the brothers that's with us, Larry Smiley, Cyphel, he has a network called KOTF Network. This brother is borderline genius. He has created something that I can't believe that every brother and sister that has a platform isn't already on his network. And he's right here amongst us. I mean, he has a teleradio network that can do anything NBC, CBS, ABC can do anything, 97.9, K104 can do. And he built this stuff himself. And so we're trying to create a platform so we can teach social skills, how to produce, learning the music business. But what we're doing, we're offering it as an incentive for the children. If you take care of your business in school, we're going to come over and show you how to produce. We're going to show you how to put your own projects out. But they have to be projects in music that is pushed and aimed for something positive. And the reason why I say that, 60% of the problems that we have with our children are based on the type of music that they're listening to and the vision that they're getting from YouTube and things that are such. So if we don't attack it where they're watching, if we don't infiltrate the areas, what they've been doing to us, we have to do to them. We have to infiltrate them with a positive message, not preaching, but we have to make being a part of your community cool again, being a part of the struggle being cool again. We have to do that and design it, and we've created a lot of ways to do that. We also teach telecommunications and radio, the basic understanding of word, PowerPoint, gang prevention, street hustlers, awareness courses, physical activities. We want to offer, you know, we got plenty of brothers in every neighborhood who have been teaching football and basketball for the summer. We need to unite those brothers, and we need to start recreating those programs, because when I went out to Como having a conversation with these brothers, they built this million-dollar community center out in Como, and the people in the residents in Como don't even have access to the community center. They have to pay to go inside the community center. So what is it in the community for? They can. I said, well, why y'all not teaching classes up inside there? They said, well, bro, you know, last day of time, they charged us $300. They do not have access to the community center that they built because it wasn't built for them in the first place. It was built for regentrification. Y'all know what's going on. They trying to move those people up out of there. All that new buildings and stuff that they building around Como is not for the Como residents. I don't even believe Como's name is legally Como any longer. I think it's Arlington Over Heights right now. They just have not announced it yet. So, what I believe we have to do is that we have to start getting serious-minded people. Stop worrying about who's not with us. Don't worry about who's not with us. Come along. Let's sit down now, not 3 months later. Let's sit down, whether it got to be Zoom or whatever we have to do. We're going to put our curriculums on the board. We got brothers who are teaching construction. We're starting our first project next week. We have a brother who has two properties that he's building houses on. What we want to do is bring young people out there, train them in how to build houses, how to do window framing. We want to train them but pay them for being trained and then put them on the job site. We have to put something inside these people's pockets if we want to do anything that's going to counteract what's going on in the streets. As far as the individuals in the streets, we got to quit giving these clowns these platforms. We got to call it for what it is. We got to call a snowflake when we see it. We can't keep supporting people and them saying, well, bro, that's just for entertainment purposes. BS. Because I stole my mom's car when I was 14 years old. I know y'all done heard me say this a million times. I stole my mom's car when I was 14 years old, and I drove to California trying to get down with NWA because that's how influential music is to our children. And we didn't have the internet back then. We didn't have social media back then and YouTube. That was just listening to cassette tapes. So imagine that these children are walking around all day long with a platform in their pocket. They never come unplugged because the television is in the phone. So the things that we're offering from KO2F Network, we got a brother, the construction program is coming from Squared Up Development and Construction Incorporation. We partnered with Lisa McDaniel, who already had Generation Uplift, and Lisa's Angels. We're supposed to be meeting with her Monday so we can start the classes this week. So we can start doing something now. She said she got 15 boys over there out there in Stop 6 that need mentoring. So we need to pull up and start doing it now. Yep. Because the urgency is just like when let me just say this last thing. I'm not saying this because I know everybody's struggling, so don't get me wrong. 2 months ago, I put up a site on Facebook about three young men that I got off Las Vegas Trail that I took guardianship for myself. These youngsters were homeless, living in and out of apartment complexes. And this is why, I'm very passionate about what I believe in, so sometimes people misunderstand that. But it angers me when I hear people talking about Black Lives Matter, but won't nobody contribute no funds to help get these young people off the streets. It doesn't make any sense that millions of dollars are coming. Man, they just, from what I just heard, they just gave Fort Worth $400 million out of that money that Biden just did, so that they can do community programs and problems, but it keeps going to programs that are not effective, because if they were effective, why ain't nothing changing?
That's right.
So I can speak all day, and I'm not trying to take over the show or anything like that. I just wanted to, you know, throw my little nickel in there. But we are
appreciate
available.
The nickel.
We're available any and all time. My number, you can catch me at buildabetterhood.com or just inbox me on Facebook, on Messenger. I hear a lot of people, they talking all the time. What people don't understand, y'all know that when Jesus hit the scene, the government didn't support Jesus. They didn't give Jesus a platform. They didn't support the things that he was doing. So it's not any wonder when people say, well, brother, why the stuff that you're doing, they ain't been up there. I have not been funded, and I'm not saying this because I want no blowing no whistles. I'm just trying to get people to understand the intensity of what's going on. These people have a counterproductive program approach toward us. If they have money invested in Safe P, if they have money invested in these private prisons, if they have, then it is a contradiction for them to be talking about bringing down crime if they have stock invested in places to put criminals.
Yep.
That's a contradiction.
Okay.
You follow the paper trail. Follow the paper trail. Some of these judges and DAs got money in Safe P, got money in these private prisons. So they're allowing y'all know what they did to the South Side. They allowed the crime to go up. Why? Because they wanted that area. Once the crime goes up to the point where the people and everybody, man, just come get these people. Just come get them up out of neighborhood. I tell brothers all the time, you ain't got to be no gang member to be no man to come out here in the streets and talk to these kids with me, man. You ain't had to come from no gang to have that.
Listen, hold on. Listen, y'all, if you just tuned in, you're listening to Let's Talk Fort Worth. I'm Carrie Hines, your host, and tonight we're talking about Stop the Violence. We got to get some more of these phone calls. We're going to go to 817-378. Good evening, you're on Let's Talk Fort Worth, and then we're going to 214-418. Good evening, you're on Let's Talk Fort Worth.
Brother Malik here, Brotherhood Boobit. I agree with everything, Brother. Brother Abdul said he hit the hammer on the nail. Right now, I'm working to seek out some of these bloggers to get the local rappers to have a, you know, pretty much like something like what they had a while back with Jack the Rapper, and sit down and talk to some of these bloggers to get an understanding, you know, why is everything that you promote is violent, you know. It should be positive rap content. When, you know, when rap came out, it was to provide the message of what's going on to get rid of the predators in the community. I think the young youth don't quite understand why rap came about, the base of rap in the music. And, you know, some of that stuff was used to, and it started home. You look around, you see, like, you look around and some of this stuff, you know, the mothers are gassing his eyes up. Then, you know, you got them young brothers, parents are putting them on this medication at an early age and messing them up. So, we got a lot to deal with. So you got to meet people where they at. I believe that's what Brother Chappelle was saying. Get this thing resolved. If the brother is doing something like what he's chosen to do, we got to get behind that type of theory and make it work. You know, and the ones who been getting the money from the folks in our town, you know, that's another story too.
Hold on one
like
second,
I said,
hold on one second. Look, somebody's got noise in their background. If you're not talking right now, if you would do me a favor, please mute your background, or I'll have to isolate the noise and I'll have to mute everybody. So if you're not talking right now, can you please mute your phone since somebody's got noise in their background? We can barely hear him. Okay, I'm sorry, Malik. Go ahead.
I said again, what Brother Abdul was saying is 110% right. Like, back to our restating, you know, right now we're setting up something where we can, you know, sit down and have a talk with some of these guys that's running these bloggers that's, you know, promoting this type of rap music, you know. I think children know that you can be successful in this rap game, rapping about the type of context. Again, like I said, you know, the stuff started in the home. You know, the biggest elephant in the room, like Brother said, is disparity. You know, you see so much disparity going on in the black community. That's something that we have to work on as a people. But some of the stuff, you know, is taking accountability in the home, you know, away. Your behavior, you know, the child behaves, you know, so it has to be filtered in, and we have to address that. That one, a lot of people don't want to deal with it, but that has to happen first of getting the blueprint of development of a child's mind, like Brother Abu has said. He pretty much summed it up
here before about what Judge Kim is doing to our kids down in the juvenile system. But y'all parents, you got to be responsible for your kids if you don't want the judge to throw the book at them.
Exactly.
Can you tell them what's going on in his courtroom, Malik?
I mean, you know, some of the cases that I looked at, I think it was a 12-year-old kid, you know, a lot of that stuff is starting at home. I've sat down and talked to one of the mothers and some of the things that I listen to is, you know, self-inflicted. You know, you get in the system, it is what it's designed to do, like Brother Chappelle said. You know, so we have to counterattack that by what implementing what Brother Abdul is telling and saying. But, you know, thing of it is you have to change this music.
Can I add something to what you're saying?
Go ahead.
Okay, I just want to say one thing. So the transitional point program that we have, which is a prison reentry program, because I believe that we need to get in that prison, because I'm a product of what can happen if you have the right people in prison guiding you in the right way. I'm the way I am now because there was good dudes in the penitentiary who pushed me in a certain direction. And so I created programs as a result of that to put in the prison and then having aftercare. But what I want to say is that when we're dealing with the children, we have to have programs and resources to help the parents as well. Because a lot of these parents got stuck. See, I'm speaking from my own experience of not only dealing with the kids now and dealing with their parents, but also being that parent that got stuck. I was a deadbeat father. I was hugging the block so long, thinking that I was out there doing it in the best interest of my family to get money. But when I got that time in jury trial, the time can't be replaced that you're taking away from your children. They don't care about no Jordans and no nice clothes when it comes to having their father or their mother at the house. But the conversation, some of these conversations, we have to close the door. We got to close the door and have those closed door town hall meetings amongst ourselves and our community. We ain't talking about inviting the city down. I'm talking about having those harsh one-on-one conversations with our own selves in the community.
I agree.
Providing resources and solutions as well.
Let's go back to the phone lines. We're going to pick up 469-364. Good evening. You're on Let's Talk Fort Worth. 469-364.
Hello? Is that, did you say the last four were 0270?
Well, I didn't call the last four, but yes, ma'am, that's you.
Okay, this is Dr. Pamela Grayson.
Hi, Dr.
So, hi. So we're talking about hello everybody. So we're talking about violence in the community. And you know, over here over the fourth, I live in South Dallas and Dixon Circle. Mm-hmm. And we had some shootings on the fourth. They were over there celebrating, fireworks tore up the area, and 4, 5 to 8 folks got shot. Ooh. Unnecessary. One, a 13-year-old girl. And what's so bad is the young lady had to go into surgery, and her mom couldn't even be at the hospital with her due to COVID regulations. We sit here, and I've heard a lot of conversation about the violence. Mm-hmm. But the reality of it is everything that you are going to learn, what sets the tone for you, you grasp in that first 5 years of your life.
Oh, wow.
And it needs to go back there. As a teacher, we're running out of teachers in America because no one wants to teach anymore. There's no money in it, and the students are brutal. Some are violent. They will put their hands on us.
Mm.
It has to go back a little earlier than waiting until they get in the street.
Let me say this then. So say they didn't get it. Maybe they had parents who were on drugs or, you know, whatever. They were just absentee parents or whatever. So they didn't get it before age 5 or whatever. So what happens if we meet them at 12 in the school system? Are you saying that there is no way to reform them?
There is a way. It's harder. And let's look at what Frederick Douglass said. He was right. It's easier to raise strong boys than it is to fix broken men.
Oh, geez.
I'm not saying it's not possible, but it would be easier if we started earlier. And
let those of us who want to get the young ones that are out there, support us doing what we're doing while we support y'all doing what y'all are doing.
I never said not to support anyone. That's not what I said.
No, ma'am, I'm fully in compliance with what you're saying because most of our children have PTSD before they reach the age of 8. They've already seen violence and suffering so much, and it's normalized in our culture. We have a toxic culture that we have accepted as a people as a whole. From pimping to selling dope to making it to glamorizing the self-destructive perpetuation of ourselves. This is something that those of us who who have been in it for a while, and I'm not saying we have to work together collectively, educators as well as that those who are educated in the streets and prisons. We have to sit down together. And this is why I keep saying I'm not promoting my curriculum because I'm trying to, you know, promote myself on no show. I'm saying the reason why these people have continued to keep me in my curriculum out of the system is because they know they are effective. They're so effective that one of them that they took, they turned it and called it the Coming Up Program. Anybody familiar with it? Anybody familiar with the Coming Up Program that was in Fort Worth?
No.
Yeah, I remember Coming Up.
You remember the Coming Up? You know where the Coming Up Program came from?
Where?
We wrote the Coming Up Program during the gang truce. They took it, got a $15 million grant, changed the direction of what it was supposed to be for, and it was implemented all over Fort Worth. All I'm saying is that we have curriculums that if educators, Kristen, like yourself, first of all, I salute you and I thank you for your service and for all, because I believe teachers are underpaid and not respected the way that they should be. So you don't have any beef with me on that aspect. I'm just saying we have to sit down together. And this has to be something that's a wraparound approach because it's never going to be a silver bullet. We have to work from all different angles, but working collectively towards the same objective. That's all I'm saying.
But see, the thing is if we give up on our kids, I mean, I'm not saying you said that, Ms. Grayson, but I'm just saying if the best year to give them is before five and they miss that, and they're in, you know, now they're 12, you know, if we give up on them because we're afraid of them, then we're basically turning them over to the system. So that school-to-prison pipeline will either be what happens or they'll end up in the cemetery. Is that not right?
Well, first of all, that is not quite what I said. And
okay.
The portrayal of my portrayal as an experienced educator is that you can sit there and say, well, no, don't give up on them. But when you've got children that will hit you, they will do physical harm to you. And I have seen this. I don't know how y'all be missing these videos of what goes on in Cedarville and Duncanville school, where you had a student choke a teacher because the man took his cell phone, which he wasn't supposed to have in school.
Wow.
So
hey, Carrie.
Yeah, no, we do have kids that need a helmet.
It's not what it is.
Yeah. Who was that to call my name?
I was going to back the lady up. You know, in St. Louis Public School District and County, Teach for America had broke their contract and say they ain't doing it.
Ooh.
They say they're not doing it. So the lady is absolutely right. But in the young man that's got the curriculum, your program is sort of like an after-school program because I don't think they're going to put that in during the daily curriculum of reading, writing, arithmetic, which the children are not even passing that. And you got to have funding. You can't do it by yourself. If you hire somebody, if you train them, they're going to want to get paid. So it's a dilemma.
Well, there's ways to get around that dilemma.
Why can't the city pick up the bill?
There are organizations that do pay for people coming out and volunteering their time and their services. They can get paid for that. But this is where the crux and the problem keeps occurring. Again, we've seen this movie before. We come up with solutions how to start working amongst ourselves in our communities, and as the thing is starting to build momentum and become self-sustaining, unfortunately, somebody in leadership later on down the line takes that same program that's been working, and they will ask somebody in city government now to step in and because they think we can get more funding. And when that happens, everything, I can tell you, in 57 years, everything in Fort Worth that has been a grassroots working program to where we had children that had jobs at 14 years old, getting paid, going to school, like you said, brother, okay, they won't put his program in a school program, but we had those programs after school. We had those programs running in the summer. We had those programs running in our communities after school. So we already have the blueprint for what needs to be done. But every time we get these things up running and being self-sustaining, city government comes in, takes over those programs, and then they flip them and they shut us down, where they'll put a name or another name on a building, and they'll want to move us out of a program we started, and they'll say this is something that we came up with because we believe it's going to help the community, better the community, and it'll work for some other people, but they will exclude us. So, again, I understand what you guys are saying.
How does city government get involved anyway? How does city government even get involved? You're non-for-profit, aren't you?
Yes, even though you're non-profit.
They steal your idea, is what he's saying. They steal your idea and make it their own.
In Dallas, the chief of police had a program, but the mayor took it from her because they didn't get along.
Well, you should get a copyright on your program. Maybe that would help. But I've heard of that before.
Yeah, again, none of this is new. So that's what they do. When we start working amongst, like I said, in the beginning when things are working great and going good, somewhere down the line when we pass in that hat, unfortunately, somebody in that leadership will allow somebody from, that outside agitator, they'll allow somebody from city government, hey, this is such and such. I've been knowing them, working with them a long time. Well, we don't know them. We ain't better than them, and we can't work with them like that. What we got going over here is a good thing. We want to keep it like that. Because it makes you not want to trust, and that's unfortunate, because the people with the funding are doing the most damage.
Because they want to control the narrative.
There you go.
Which is scary. So the city isn't really working with the people. The city wants to control the people.
Correct.
Right?
They want to control the narrative. Black Lives Matter. Go back further than that. NAACP.
Yep.
They want to control the narrative. They, sir, those who are going to know who they are, those are the people, the powers that be, those that control the media and the airwaves control the narrative. Especially with all the AG surveillance cameras, what they're doing, they're profiling, they're watching mannerisms. They can already kind of project an outcome at the end just by observation. Even downtown City Hall, when you're sitting to talk to the city secretary or mayor, there's cameras all around you. They're observing you. They're watching your mannerisms to see if you can pose a threat. They already know if they're going to hire you or put your application or your submission in file 13 before you even give that corona freak death. Yes, they're wanting to control the narrative. When we have the synergy think tank, such as the Multicultural Racism Task Force, say the Redistricting Task Force, and all this has to do with violence. Now, I'm staying on the topic. Just stick with me. They'll listen to your ideas, and they'll discredit it, okay? And they're playing on emotions. 9 times out of 10, we're going to leave out disgruntled and discontented and don't follow up. And then they say, you know what, Billy Bob, that was a great idea anyway. You know what, we're going to go ahead and implement this program as if it's brand new so they can benefit. But they'll pork bill, so to say, your original plan or agenda to fit their personal agenda. When I say they're the powers that be, the media, those that want a prison seal, those that want the public school system closed down in lieu of the charter schools or these STEM schools where they take the cream of the crop of those of us in the disenfranchised neighborhood to go ahead and, be placed on their agendas to promote Fort Worth unity while everyone else fail. By the third grade, I already know who's going to the juvie system, who's going to the penitentiary. And then how do we stop it? We have to stop those who are controlling the narrative. Facebook, social internet, all these are great tools, and it keeps us off focus on really what's going on. I'm accusing the city of Fort Worth in our community them amongst ourselves to cause dissension amongst ourselves to promote agendas. I'm going to go ahead and say it for Texas legislature. Yes, and those who want to make America great again, and those who are waiting for the South to rise again with the practice of repeal, unwritten Jim Crow and Black Code law. It's just, it's divide and conquer. Divide and
well,
conquer. Keep us bickering, and I believe they're on the payroll. Cornhill is a lie. I'm sorry, someone else just wanted to talk.
Hey, you don't cover the whole lot there as far as, you know,
yeah,
I'm poor school choice myself.
Well, yeah,
I'm
going to
give a couple of data.
That there's really not any, I don't hear about discipline anymore, you know, schools anymore. You notice back in the day, we used to not have to worry about these problems while the parents took care of the problem. You know, the family took care of everything. You know, because, and I tell anybody, if you go ahead and watch your kids, you better not help me whooping ass because I'm going to get them in line. And that discipline always started at home. And that's how we...
You're going to go to jail?
I don't know why I own this car on here, but that's why we didn't have any run down to jail, get nobody out and everything. We have to go back to reinforcing the old school methods of trying to deal with our children and everything, because then they won't be out there shooting guns. They won't be out there stealing cars and stuff like that because they will know better. Just the thought of knowing you're going to incur the wrath of your parents, that carried a lot of weight growing up. But these days...
Well, Tanya just hit on something.
About black people for children.
Tanya just hit on something that's very detailed in all of this. And it goes back to our city government wants to control the narrative, because what did we say? We're talking about violence in our community and how to curtail that. And then they say, now what? They want to take something old, something that's already been on the books. They kind of repackaging it, and they saying, and what did you read, Carrie? You said, this is out of the chief's own, was it the chief that wrote it, that said, this
was,
is our new?
They met before the police department.
So the Fort Worth Police Department said, this is our new cite and release program. Well, whatever happened to the old? You didn't change anything.
So why don't people recall those politicians and get them out of office?
Oh, we
changed.
We did that. A lot of people changed over, let's just say that. And there's some more to come. From what I hear, they gonna get some more. And listen, politicians, be on notice for real. Fort Worth ain't playing this time. If you are holding any elected position and you are not doing your job, you may not have your job very much longer. Because if y'all can't address the issues in the community, then the community needs some new leadership. Am I right, y'all?
Yeah, that's correct.
Amen.
Yeah, recall them. You got some forces come in there and get you to vote for Joe Biden and use them same movements to recall those politicians that's sabotaging your program.
Now, one of the biggest things I will...
Huh?
One of the biggest things I give Brother Malik credit for, he said this a long time ago when I first got with the Brotherhood. The first thing he said is, we need to have an independent audit of our city council and of our school district.
Oh.
Now, that was 3 years ago, but look what happened. We had an audit. There was an audit done. We find out that the city is $2.4 billion in the hole because of criminal practicing of keeping their books. Because nobody else's business can have two sets. And then we also found out, now in the Brotherhood, we found out at that time that the city was $63.3 million in the hole. But the sister that came on your show, Karen, she introduced us to that they were actually $1 billion in the hole.
$2.4 billion. I think the most accurate number is $2.7 billion, if the truth be told.
That's the city. Remember, she also said that the school board was $1 billion in the hole.
I agree with you on them audits. They do the trick because they reveal to you and let you know what's going on. Then it's up to the people to take action.
Now, remember,
but it depends on what book they present. You know, they have more than one book.
Yeah,
well, they're going to go to the nitty-gritty.
Yeah.
Some of this money could be actually going out into the community to stop some of this violence, to put some programs in place, like Brother Abdul said, to help some of these kids. I mean, to keep them off the street, to employ them.
Yep.
I mean, so, yeah, we really do need to start writing up something for them to be doing this summer as they're coming out of school, some jobs, like what Brother Abdul was saying, learn a skill. I mean, they can do that. They can create some programs where they can learn a skill, air conditioning, like you said, building houses, plumbing, you know, electrical. Those are things we really need to get back to teaching these young folks. They need something to do.
Well, there's programs out there, and there are pamphlets that we can get through the Fort Worth Black Chamber to actually put that information back out there. But the city does not push those programs.
Elder, let me say this.
If somebody sends me designed for new immigrants, and I don't believe that it's designed specifically for those of us who are in color, of color. What I'm seeing, those programs mostly are for immigrants and low-income Latinx. Again, Association of Texas Legislature.
Excuse me, let me just say this. If anybody would send me your email addresses, I will send you a synopsis of programs that we have now. We ain't got to write nothing. I'm talking about programs that we have now.
Your program sounds to me like it's right on time. But this lady just made a very, very critical point about these immigrants. These immigrants is coming into your community, don't speak English. They start programs up to teach them how to speak English where black kids are struggling with Ebonics.
Hello?
And that's the kind of mess I don't understand why people let that stuff go over.
I think that the disconnect is until we create what we're doing right now.
And then everybody decides, okay, we got to do something. We got to scramble and do something. But, yeah, when we hit this brick wall that we're hitting right now where everybody's scared to go out of their houses, now everybody knows that we got to do something. Some programs, some more teachers in the schools, some small classrooms.
Is everybody afraid, or is that a fear tactic that's being used to make us feel in our mind that we are afraid and we won't approach those who are said to be creating the problem? You know, paint the picture that they're unapproachable. Or I'm not afraid. Are y'all really afraid to go out your house? Or is that the narrative that the Fort Worth Police Department and Jim Abbott is trying to paint?
They're definitely going to paint that picture.
No,
they're going to paint that picture because it works.
Afraid to go outside in your community.
Let me say this: y'all ain't worse than Chicago. In the last 39 days, you hear me? In the last 39 days, you have 726 shot and 98 killed. In one year, from Memorial Day last year to Memorial Day this year. 4,845 shot with 745 murdered. No white police shot nobody.
Let me say this on that. You're right, but listen to this. We're talking to people. Our other branch, our parenting branch, is called United Hoods of America. We are in 21 different states: Baltimore, Chicago, Jersey, New York, California. A lot of that stuff that's being put on the news is not happening by dudes in the streets, and this is why I'm saying we're having the wrong conversation. Back in the 90s, here in Fort Worth, we had police officers who were dressing up like Crips and going and shooting up blood neighborhoods. We had police officers that were dressing up like Bloods and going and shooting up Crip neighborhoods. So what I'm saying is that we have to take into realization we are dealing with the people who will do whatever is deemed necessary to stay in power and keep us confused fighting each other amongst each other. So if when Luther was talking about the half-cent sale tax, And it's public information. You can go downtown to the federal building and go on the third floor. It's a law library down there. You can put anybody who's been in the federal system's name in there because I got a stack of dudes' paperwork who hot off inside Fort Worth. And so I know it works, and I'm a licensed paralegal. What I'm saying is that if Luther had been talking years about the half-cent sale tax that was put on the board when the weed and seed program was created in the 90s when they created the zero tolerance. We was on the front line back then. My point is that they have money allocated for our communities every year, millions of dollars. We don't never get any of that money because there's not one minority on that board. There's not one minority on that board for that money that's allocated for minority communities.
Well,
How do
that
the
money
people
is
get
already
on the board?
Accessible. It's already available. Huh?
How do the people get on the board, sir?
More people like the good people on this phone start talking to a couple of friends that they know. What I'm saying is that if we're all talking about solving a problem that affects us all, and everybody has good – when y'all start talking about the audits and things of the such, that needs to happen simultaneously while we're doing programs. That needs to happen simultaneously while we're supporting the teachers. That needs to happen simultaneously while we're pulling real reverends and real spiritual people together. I'm not talking about the ones who are downtown kissing these people's tails and standing as vanguards over the money, you know, so that they can tell us who we need to vote for off inside the church. I'm not talking about those types. I'm talking about the ones who will actually come up out of those pulpits and come out in the streets in the first place and talk to those kids, because these are our children. We're talking about sir.
Let me give you a key on how to get them audits started. You want to draw a petition with the state auditor and give you a grievance.
I can't do the audits because that's not my area of expertise, but whoever brought it up and who's good at that, then we need to be doing that at the same time.
Yeah, you need
as
to
we're out working with the kids that don't nobody want to work with.
A petition to the state auditor of Texas. And telling you concerned about the finances in the school district and city hall. That's how you begin that.
Oh, wow. Somebody's going to take that and run with it. But anyway, wow. Something's got to be done. Something's got to be done. And the scary part is if we don't do something, we can talk about it. And I hope this is not going to be one of those Monday morning quarterback type of shows or, you know, sitting on the stoop on the corner talking about it, but I hope that we all leave this show with the frame of mind that we're going to do something, that we're going to do something to, in some way, stop this violence in the street, stop this COINTELPRO train from running over all of us, because it's real. I mean, and if anybody does not know what COINTELPRO is, that's their little covert tactics that they use to infiltrate and slander and play their little games to bring down either a person or a group. Am I correct, y'all, or if somebody else want to define that a little better?
You're correct. You're correct.
And let me explain that audit procedure, because I've seen it done before. You petition the state auditor. The state auditor will come in and talk with the people with their concerns on City Hall and the school district. Then they'll bring a team down, and they will spend however long it takes to go through the finances, the books of the city hall and the school district. When it's done, they will come back and give the people the report. That's how that works. Then you act on it.
Really? So you can just contact the auditor.
You find out how many signatures you need to have in order to petition the auditor. The number of signature may go on the percentage of the last vote totals or the last people that went to the poll in their school district, the last people that went in to the poll in Fort Worth.
Oh, Lord. Oh, listen. Let's Talk Fort Worth is always the place to hear stuff you ain't going to hear nowhere else. I'm sure somebody's going to do this. I don't know who, but I bet you that is going to go into effect. I think because the school district right now, we got too many failing schools over there, and these are the same kids that are out in the street shooting. So there may need to be something done definitely with the school system and an audit over there. I mean, for real, because we can't afford to lose.
They also will locate and identify corruption and theft in those audits. You know, you got some idiots out there deposit checks to the city in their name, in their own bank account, do stupid stuff like that. But I'm telling you, that's how you do. Get a petition. Call the state auditor's office and ask them, how big of a petition do we need to bring you into this school district, to bring you into this city hall?
I agree wholeheartedly.
That's the only way we're going to beat the system, and I'm just to throw something out there, and maybe I shouldn't. It's not just upper and lower city management. Oh, we have organizations, gangs, and cartels that are active in the city, and the only way that we can stop the corruption is vote them out or by petition, okay? Anything else is injunctions and class action lawsuits. It's okay to poke the barrel. But when you poke the polar bear, that's how you get your brake lines cut and everything else. And I feel because of this fact, that's why a lot of our old community active and leaders inside and outside of Como, they'll address the problem and talk about it all day long. But when it comes to implementation, you can hear a church mouth just on cotton because they already know what it is. So we need some real brothers and sisters and foot soldiers on the ground that's not afraid to stand on truth. Yours truly, Tanya Carter, Como Action News today. I don't have anything to lose and everything to gain, so I said what I said. Anything happened to me, y'all know who did it. Thank you.
And see, you know another thing. That city council, Carrie, that city council, you can recall. Now, I don't know if Texas allow recall of school board members, but they should. Now, the thing you need to argue, the thing you need to go, once you get that audit done in that school district, then you go there and you tell them, we want this for our kids. And if they don't deliver it, you're going to get their asses up out of there, including the superintendent. You got the power to do that. The people do. I ain't saying you on this phone, but I'm saying people do.
I think a recall may be in order in some cases because, you know, after Tatiana Jefferson was killed, I watched hundreds of people piled into the city council, and they were telling the city council that they were tired, and they were disgusted with what was going on. And literally, those of you that went down there, y'all know, they were looked upon like they were nothing. I mean, I was so surprised at the arrogance of some of the people that sat on council, and it was as though they did not care. And I think that should not be tolerated this time around. I think when we speak out to the city council and they do us like that again, I think that is the time that recalls are needed. I think, you know, that definitely should happen this time to send a message that if you don't do your job, then we don't need you. We don't need you downtown if you are not going to work for us. And it's not in a harassing type manner. We're just saying to you that we expect you to do your job. If we elect you, we expect you to do your job. Y'all agree with that? We have that right?
100%.
Wholeheartedly.
We talked about that once before, and now Carolyn King Arnold intentionally sits out of the session when the speakers are speaking, and then she comes in and sits down after everybody's done talking. Then she comes in there and sits down like, you know, she just got out the powder room or something. And I just thought that was extremely disrespectful for any city councilman. But then Mayor Mike Rowley, you do it all the time, especially when blacks are down there talking about their rights and everything. He didn't want to sit in the meeting, and then Casey Thomas started coming in trying to run everybody like he's some high school principal or something, trying to act like he's trying to get some order when, you know, they all they do, they just try to walk over you. And that's something we should never tolerate.
But see, the former mayor sat in a church. Remember that when Betsy Price told him she didn't come there for a bitch session? That was a reason to recall your mayor.
That.
Yeah. I don't care. Huh?
No, I just said I remember that, and I remember they talked about it, but nobody did nothing.
Right. But that was a clue that she did not hear, and she was detached from the community, and she did not have a heart for the people, and that was crazy. And did we reelect her after that? Did she get reelected after she did that? I think she got.
Yeah,
did she?
She got real
Deborah Peoples ran against her, remember?
Yeah.
Oh, sure did. I mean, so go figure. I mean, either people were stuck on stupid or somebody was playing with the numbers at the poll. I'm not sure what was going on. But there's no way she should have been elected.
I'm on B's and A's, but that's just me. I just, like, I think that was just, there are times when you can just actually look and see that, yeah, I think they kind of stepped on it. But I know, like, when Beto O'Rourke ran against Cruz, I mean, Cruz just pulled that one out barely by the skin of his teeth because, I mean, he was already beyond ridiculous at that point. And now, you know, of course, he wins a re-election now. I'll just give up on the election process in Texas.
Well, I think we got smarter with the election process this time. We watched the polls. We were diligent to be, like, right there, letting them know, y'all try something slick, even though Tonya Carter said that there were some surges the day, what was it, June 5th?
Yes, on election day. It was power surges that affected the comptroller, which is the scanner that gives you your number, that gives you the number for you to cast your ballot. It was one power surge at Hewlin South Branch Library. There were other power surges in the city. One in particular had three on that day, unreported. The power surge lasted at my voting poll less than 3 minutes.
See, like I told y'all hear stuff on Let's Talk Fort Worth. Y'all ain't go hear nowhere else. Now, that's news, y'all, because that could have affected
I got a comment.
I'm sorry.
I got a contact for you with the state auditor's office. Now, apparently Texas don't have an auditor. The office is vacant, but they got assistant auditors. The first assistant auditor is Lisa Collier, and her number is 512-936-9300. Then at the assistant state auditor, you got Verma Elliott, 512-936-9611. Call their butts up Monday and get to work.
Oh, we out. Like I told you, let's talk for nothing like nobody else. Okay, y'all. You know, he just gave y'all information. If y'all decide to do like an audit of your school system in the city down there, since they say it's $2.4 billion, and I think it's closer to $2.7 billion in the red, according to truthinaccounting.com. You can go to their website, and we did a real long show with them where they told us all about it. Very interesting, y'all. Because, you know, the thing is, I mean, we really as a community must really pay attention. We can't play no more because we've been asleep for too long. And they have basically, they lulled us to sleep here, and they did whatever they wanted to do. But now when we're talking about our babies dying in the street, I mean, being shot by other babies, we got to wake up, y'all. We can't even afford to sleep no more because if we don't take control of it, it's going to be our family member at some point or somebody that we know. And so do we ask the city? Let me ask you this. With all the funding, the CCPD money everybody keeps talking about, I don't know how that's completely allocated, but I do understand you have to be a nonprofit in order to get it. But that funding shouldn't only go to nonprofits, in my opinion. What does a nonprofit have to do with whether or not you have an idea that could work for stopping crime in the city? What does a nonprofit have to do with that? Nothing.
You shouldn't have anything to do with it.
That
one depends
on who the nonprofit is and how much lobbying they're getting. I mean,
that's just a criteria to block people, in my opinion. That's just a criteria that they put in place, in my opinion, to block you. Because if you have a company, whether it's for-profit or non-profit, it should not matter if what you do is an idea that will help to stop crime in this city. Now, that's just my opinion. And I just think it's a way to eliminate people. Or a way to determine who they want to give it to and who they want. I guess to narrow the window, I guess you should say, for who can get the funding and who can't.
Well, this is what they did. Remember the argument that they're talking about, saying that, you guys only wanted, you're talking about defunding the police. Well, didn't you defund the program to increase the money for the police? A lot of these programs that have been introduced tonight were programs that we had before that had been defunded, and the police funding had increased. So you took these programs away, but crime has gotten worse.
Again,
well, you know, here's
to
the
control
thing.
The narrative closely associated with the $2 billion shortfall. Could it be, because things are the way that they are, that the city of Fort Worth
is funneling money to certain nonprofit groups of choice as a way to embezzle that money.
Yeah, the only way you can find that out is through audit.
Is an audit,
and you ain't got to worry. You ain't got to worry about firing nobody. They quit. Then you really go at them because they're quitting for a reason. But with them audits, for instance, in City Hall, they're going to audit the police department. They're going to audit the bail money. That's another way that things get loused up. If people put bail up, that bail account, check that out and see what's happening with it.
Yeah, they don't give that's a lot the of way, people their money
see,
back.
Everything now y'all saying is nothing but speculation. The only way to make that official is you got to have them audit. So what somebody should do come Monday is call the assistant auditor and just ask a cordial question. If we think we have some improprieties along financial lines in the school district of Fort Worth and the city hall of Fort Worth, what is the procedure to bring an auditor in? You ain't got to give your name. They'll tell you.
Lord, independent auditor. Independent.
And I don't want nobody letting the air out of my damn tires.
I agree with you.
Well, hey, I'm like him. My cameras will pick them up.
If all they all these things they have laid down, that's good because they can do a whole lot worse.
Wow. Well, yeah, the thing is, these are things that we have never talked about before, and they should be on the table. And as citizens, we should be safe when we talk about it. We shouldn't be in fear of the police. We should not be in fear saying that we are afraid of the same people that protect and serve us. Now, something's wrong there. And at whatever point that switch, it needs to switch back because the people pay the salaries of the police, and we should not be fearful that they're going to do something to our vehicles or do something to our homes or do something to us because we're talking about stuff. If you're a good cop, this should not be something that you're afraid of. This conversation should not make you fearful. However, if you're not a good cop, then we understand, but then you should be a police officer.
It's a major, I mean, it's most of our city's budget goes to the Fort Worth Police Department. I mean, who are you going to complain to?
Yeah. I mean, really, I didn't, yeah, right. I mean, and if right now, and I hate to say it, Chief Noakes, when people call your office, they don't get a response. I think a lady posted online today that some man came to her door and was literally like trying to grab her 7-year-old, and the husband had to stop him with a gun, and she called the police, and the police came, and the police, you know, they thought did a report. And so the next day or so, they go to the police department to see about the report about the person, and no report had even been taken. So what are we really doing?
Ooh.
I mean, was that a situation of a fight and release or what? I mean, but, you know, that's the kind of stuff. I mean, somebody right.
Well, so if it's not documented, I mean, it's crazy. And I'm going to be quiet. Y'all continue.
What I'm just saying. And I'm going to put it out on the record so if anything happened to me, y'all know. Listen, on the 12th, somebody came to my house about 9:30 at night. I called the police. They came over here. I told the police what happened, and they said, you know, basically, do you know who did it? Well, no, I don't. Well, since you don't have a suspect and, you know, they didn't do anything, so we're not going to give you a police report for that trespassing. Now, clearly, my property is fenced in all the way around my entire property. However, they told me because I didn't have a suspect, even though the person was, like, in the center of my property, even though it's fenced in, they had to cross over two fences to get to the point in which they were at. It was getting ready to enter a third fence. They told me because
how many fences you got around your property?
Let me finish. Pinky. Because I did not have a suspect, then there was no reason for them to do a report. So we're going to have to call the PD to the rug on them not doing these reports. Is it the officers don't want to do paperwork? I mean, what are we talking about here? Is it about paperwork?
We're talking about the zip code that you live in.
Try to file a report and try to follow up on it. They're always going to try to give you the long run. And then, like with me, when I filed complaints of internal affairs, so they'll take the complaint, you get a copy of it, but, you know, you call 2-3 weeks afterwards and no reply, no answer, because now what part-time internal affairs used to help you get the problem resolved, now they obstruct them for the police officers. And the reason why it's like that in Dallas is because they say Dallas is a low number of police officers, but at the end of the day, they're not doing anything for the officers that are there or doing anything to make things better. All they're doing is just trying to do things and hope that we give up and go away.
And the way you get information, see, calling ain't gonna, you're not going to get any information. The way you get information is you send a certified letter with the question. You go write that letter out, put the number of your certification on the letter. Don't wait. Don't put it on out. Put it on the letter, because they're gonna give you a little green and white piece of paper and a green card, and you tell them you want receipt. You want to be notified of the receipt and see who signed it, because somebody's gonna sign it, and that'll come back to the post office and it'll come back to you personally. Now, that's the way you started it. Calling ain't going to get you nowhere. Write the letters.
We're talking about Dallas right here. So,
huh?
Dallas does not operate on those type of levels.
Well, that's legal levels. That's the way, that's where you get the responses.
I'm going to say it again. This is Dallas. Dallas don't operate like that. They are what I would call a dystopian type of society that they run downtown. They're always threatened by anybody who knows the law better than they do most of the time. And, you know, like I said, I'm dealing with them now with a little battle. Then, like last summer, they closed the record department because of COVID. Mm. They were behind COVID like it was just a shield that you couldn't get in or get out or get in information. You call them, they're going to run you to 6-7 different business signals, fax machines. I mean,
I'll tell you something you need, then. You need to have a program that teaches people in the community about the law. You got a brother over in Houston, Warren, by the name of Warren Houston. He teaches public law. And I get his number to carry. But that's the way you get prepared. You got to teach the people the power that they have. You wouldn't believe the power that you got. So nobody's using it. If these people, if these agencies know you don't know, they're going to play you every time.
Well, see, we had programs in our community. Like I said, Tanya and I both said this. We've seen this movie before. We've had those programs that would teach those civics to people in our community centers. And they used to be 2 times a week. But, again, those programs were defunded. And that money was funneled somewhere else, and our city government thought that it was more appropriate to put that money elsewhere than to continue to educate its people on the law, on the policies and procedures of how city government is ran and how it should operate.
You're going to have to get a grassroots movement. Teach people in the church so you get a movement. You got to get a movement to straighten this stuff back up.
Well, and
it works.
Like the brother said earlier, the brother said earlier that those leaders in our churches, they haven't stepped out like that. Oh. You know, it's more of that, hey, can y'all calm them down till we can get through this?
Let's see if I can get Warren to come on.
Right, because a lot of the churches in Dallas, they're more like they do block for the city in a lot of ways. And, you know, the time when you want to try to get them involved and talk to them about something, you know, like I did that once before. I went to the Potter's house, tell them about some of the problems. And they said, well, let's have a prayer. You know, I'm like, well, we need most of them prayer. We need some boots on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, it's a very frustrating process. But I've been doing this for almost 12 years now, and the way I look at it now, I'll probably still be doing it like this because eventually they're going to get tired of seeing me all the time. But something has to be done. When you're trying to take the leadership down like there are, and all they're doing is just moving people around like chess pieces, you have to start learning how to be 3 steps ahead of that as well.
Yep.
I agree. Listen, Brother Abdul wanted me to pass his information on. He had to leave early, but you can reach him at 310-927-3580. That's the one who talked about the curriculum program. Again, that's Abdul.
Repeat the number again, Karen. 310-927-3580.
His email address is abdulchappelle46. At Gmail, that's gmail.com. That's ABDULCHAPPELL46 at gmail.com. So AbdulChappelle46 at gmail.com. Thank you, Abdul, for putting that information out, and hopefully you'll get some funding for your program, and maybe it will stop some of the crime that we got going on. Listen, final comments, y'all, before we get out of here. Anybody, y'all want to start with final comments, Tanya Carter?
Yes, I'll start the final comment. From gauging from the conversation tonight, it's easy to see why some of us take the law within our own hands and handle things ourselves. We feel there's no recourse. Some of us are afraid to call the Fort Worth Police Department. Oftentimes, we are perceived as the aggressor rather than the victim. We feel we don't have a recourse, you know, by way of complaint to the police department, for the school board, or, you know, our systems, period. Yes, I would like to stress the fact of unity, and of, especially amongst our community leaders. I'm not going to talk too much. I'm just going to sum it up. I personally have been under attack by a so-called influencer or a community activist who I feel is very intelligent, but comes across very antagonistic. That's my personal opinion. I would like to make a plea and a call for action that maybe we can have a meeting and join everyone together and resolve this issue and work together in unity. Put personal differences aside. I believe certain, I don't know, it just seems like social media is a very powerful tool, and I'm speculating, like the brother said, everything is speculative right now. Certain individuals, this may be city management, you know, from city council, mayor on up, may use us and secure us financially to make false claims, to discredit us, and silence our voice. Thank you.
Wow. Okay, listen, y'all, we got 3 minutes before we get off the air, but we're going to go over just a little bit. If you are listening via the Internet, you will have to hop on the phone lines because it's straight up 9 o'clock. We will be off the air. So the number to jump on is 516-387-1981. That's 516-387-1981. If you're listening via the Internet, it's at the top right of your screen. We hear that Attorney Warren Houston is on the line. 346-217. Good evening, Mr. Warren. How are you, Attorney Warren?
I'm fine. How are you this morning? I'm sorry.
Yes. We understand you teach people about the law. What can we learn from you? What are you willing to teach us?
Well, basically everything starts off from the foundation, the fundamentals. And the foundation and the fundamentals first starts with learning natural law, certain things that naturally occur. And do we know what those things are and how they operate, how those laws operate in the universe? Excuse me?
Yeah, and if I could say, Warren, what they was talking about is how to petition the state auditor of Texas to come into their city and audit the school district, the police department, and city hall. And how much, you know, what type of petition, the number on the petition, and where they can find that information.
Okay, well, that's some information I have to get back with you on, because according to popular belief, you know, when you're dealing with the law, that means that you are practicing. It doesn't mean we know everything, but we know how to go and research it.
Can you speak up a little bit? Ms. Warren, can you please speak up a little bit?
Okay, can you hear me now?
That's better.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let me turn my mic up. Does that help?
That helps. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, as I was saying, the information that Piake is talking about, I'd have to research that and come back, you know, as a contrary to popular belief, you know, everybody doesn't know everything, even though you may be studying the law and learning it. That's why you're considered a practicing attorney or practicing lawyer, because we don't know it all. But as it relates to the young lady that I heard talking about, I guess she was talking in the sense of police brutality and things of that nature, mm-hmm. we have to look at things from both sides of the coin and understand, you know, if you look at a coin has two sides. And I think what happens a lot of times is that we're only viewing things from one side. When I was teaching my classes, I had police officers, I had judges, attorneys, FBI agents, and all these different government officials come in and talk to my class so we could understand from both angles what happens during a confrontation, what happens during a police stop, how the police is thinking, how you're thinking. And that helps to clear up some things. There are other remedies also for government agencies, basically, and what people don't talk about in the sense of police brutality is that all government officials are bonded. And the reason that they're being bonded is because they have to be insured because they may hurt you. And things that we do not hear people discuss is that insurance claims filed against those bonds, if too many insurance claims hit those bonds, that person is out of the job. They're no longer uninsurable. But nobody's going to talk about that. Nobody's going to tell you that. So it's more than one way, in a sense, they say, to skin a cat if we have the right information. A lot of times the right information is not given to us.
Okay. So listen, we would love to have you come back. So what would you be willing to teach us about when we bring you back? What to do when we're stopped by police, for one, maybe?
We can discuss whatever you want to discuss. We can discuss that. We can discuss the petition aspect of it when I come back the next time. The foundation, the building blocks, that's what I want to talk about. And basically when I talk about the building blocks, I'm talking about the foundation of this country, the laws itself, what they represent, what they stand for, and how we have been manipulated, and sometimes by so-called activists. Because in the words of the great Booker T. Washington, a lot of people do not want the Negro to heal because it is profitable to them. And not only is it profitable, some want sympathy. Some want sympathy and some realize it is profitable to keep things going. So a lot of things are going on in the community and we don't have the right information for.
Wow. You know, we're going to have to book you as soon as possible. Thank you, Pianki, for having Attorney Houston call in. So one last question. So in terms of police brutality, we'd like to talk a lot more about that because that's something a lot of us on the phone lines have dealt with simply because we speak out, we use our platforms to talk about injustices in our area. So we definitely would like you to come back and address that with us and the things that we could do to keep ourselves safe in this type of climate.
Right, right. Well, it does happen, but one of the first things I would definitely say to anybody is never hold court on the streets.
Ooh.
Never hold court on the streets.
Okay, speak up and say that. Never hold court on the streets. Now tell us what that means.
That means that you are in a lose situation. You have no way of winning on the streets arguing back and forth with the police officer. You're going to lose that battle every time. The best place to hold court is in a courtroom. At a courthouse and not on the streets.
So you don't have to be yes or boss. You just accept a ticket or whatever and you go hopefully go on about your day and live to talk about it rather than to try to go back and forth with that person, with that officer, and then possibly lose your life or, you know.
Well, just think about it. Just think about it. Even when you're arrested, even if you're arrested, the police are required by law to read you what is known as your Miranda rights. Do you know what they say when you're arrested?
What?
You have the right to be silent.
You have a right to do what? Remain silent.
Right.
Anything you say can and will be used what? Against you.
Against you.
So we're not even listening to the words. So it's like, and one thing that we have to understand, whether it's in criminal court or civil court,
the plaintiff has to prove his case, not the defender. If you are being accused of something, the best policy is to be quiet, because they themselves have to prove the case that they brought against you. But if you open your mouth and you keep talking, sometimes you incriminate yourself because you give up information that incriminates you, and you don't know how the game is played.
Okay, so let me ask you this real quick, and we're going to wrap up. So I'm stopped by the police, and he's asking me a whole series of questions about where are you going and why were you speeding so fast, and, you know, did you know you did this and did you know you did that? My response should be?
Well,
I don't answer questions.
Right. It's up to you. I'm going to say it's up to you as far as how far you want to go with that. But basically, and if there's a certain way, and we can get deeper into it the next time I come back, is reserving your rights as of not having to speak no more than giving the proper information that you need to give as far as your driver's license.
All right, y'all. Listen.
You don't have to answer questions.
He should have gone in two hours ago. Okay. Y'all, listen, we got to get out of here. We definitely will be bringing back Attorney Warren Houston to tell us more about what we should do. If stopped by the police. Listen, y'all, thank you so much for chiming in tonight. All of you all that joined the phone line, Warren Houston, Attorney Warren Houston, Wayman Brown, Pianki, Reggie Ruffin, Tanya Carter, Tice Franklin, I'm sorry, and I'm forgetting some other names, Abdul Chappelle, Malik Austin, all of you all that joined in tonight and chimed in on the subject, thank you so much. Okay, y'all, we'll be back next Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. This is What We Do. Same bad time, same bad channel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.